Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, August 9th, 2016. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I am well, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Awesome, and thanks for being here. And Brian Chaffin, I hope you are well, too.
Yes.
Excellent, and thank you for being here, man of so many words.
And yes.
Yes. But hey, speaking of words, Brian, you mashed together a bunch of words yesterday in a way that I thought was really good. And okay, here's where I'm going with this, because clearly I haven't mastered the segue in the same way that you have, Brian.
Few have, few can.
That's true, but it does give me a life goal. Anyhow, you wrote an interesting piece yesterday about how Tim Cook, and by extension Apple, is looking at the health, fitness, and wellness market.
So Rick Tetzeli, a longtime reporter and the co-author of Becoming Steve Jobs. What's his co-author's name, Brent? I've got such a problem with names.
I can't remember.
Anyway, this was a piece by Mr. Tetzeli for Fast Company. He basically was able to interview Craig Federighi and Eddie Q and Tim Cook, at least that made it into the piece. It was it's an excellent interview. You should go and read the full interview if you're interested in Apple and you're interested in Tim Cook. And if you want some insight on things, it's just a great read. One of the things that stood out for me, there are two things actually that stood out for me. The first was just how big a deal Apple intends apparently how big a splash Apple intends to make in the healthcare field. And there's a great quote from Tim. He says, we've gotten into the health arena and we started looking at wellness. That took us to pulling a string to thinking about research, pulling that string a little further. It took us to some patient care stuff. And then that pulled a string that's taking us to some other stuff, which is, of course, the stuff that they're working on. Mm-hmm. When you look at most of the solutions, whether it's devices or things coming up out of big pharma, first and foremost, they are done to get the reimbursement from an insurance provider, not thinking about what helps the patient. So if you don't care about reimbursement, which we have the privilege of doing, that may even make the smartphone market look small.
Huh. That's kind of a big statement.
It is a huge statement. And Mr. Tetzeli pointed out that the healthcare industry around the world is a $9 trillion a year business.
That's a lot of money, even for Apple.
So I have no idea what Apple thinks it can do in healthcare. I have no idea what product it may be working on for the healthcare industry. Certainly, Apple Watch is not even, I would guess it's hardly even the tip of the iceberg for whatever they're thinking.
Yeah, but it's probably it probably is the tip of the iceberg, right? You know, helping people, monitoring people's health. I don't even want to say helping people monitor their own health, but just monitoring people's health. And then again, with people's permission, because we're talking about Apple here, funneling that information to their doctors and their insurance companies and all of that stuff. I feel like there's a huge services business here.
Yes. And
facilitating, insurance companies or single payer, which is just one single insurance company in any given, locale. I don't know. I feel like Apple that might be exactly what they're talking about here.
It certainly could be. And I hear where you're coming from. Absolutely. I can't help but feel there's more to it than that. Don't have any evidence for that, but
let's speculate, right?
I mean,
and I'm just, you know, having fun here. What would even more be, right?
Yeah.
All right. So
more be.
Okay. So here's what we have right now. We have and I'm just going to focus on Apple Watch. We have something that can keep track of how active you are, just generally speaking, and can perform functions like monitoring your heart rate. And then it can also offer wellness activities, such as reminding you to stand and move around. And in iOS 10, reminding you to stop every now and then and just take a moment for yourself. And I'm referring to the Breathe app.
Yep.
So we've got that, but we also have sensors on Apple Watch that do more than they're actually being used for and could do and could be turned on to make these other things happen if Apple were to get FDA approval. So maybe that's the next step for Apple.
That's true. Yeah, the Apple Watch, it intentionally did not have FDA approval coming out of the gate, right?
Right.
Right.
Yep, yeah, but yeah, Apple Watch is not going to be bigger than the cell phone market. But almost by definition, a product like Apple Watch will be a subset of the smartphone business.
Yeah,
of course.
No, I think you're misunderstanding.
That's why I think it's bigger.
But yeah, I think it's the phone is more of that than anything else. But I mean, the phone managing all of your health data for you and anyone else that you want to have access to it now starts getting really interesting.
Yeah, but again, looking, I'm just, you know, parsing over his words with a fine-tooth comb, that may even make the smartphone market look small. So we're already talking about the smartphone market. So he's talking about something that's going to make, that's going to be bigger than iPhone.
Well, yeah,
so therefore,
okay,
it's not iPhone, and Apple Watch is going to always be a subset of iPhone.
I think you're overreading. What if iPhone becomes more than just a smartphone? Right.
Becomes a tricorder?
Yeah. Right. Already, Apple has changed the definition of what a smartphone is. Right. I mean, if you look at the definition of a smartphone prior to the iPhone release, and then now, you know, it's a radical change. But that it could be argued that would have happened anyway. But the point is, they're saying, look, it's larger. The smartphone market is larger now than the smartphone market of 2006. In part because of the features that Apple and then, of course, Samsung and everybody else has added to the smartphone. So the definition has changed. So I think discounting, I don't necessarily think Cook's comments refer to a brand new hardware platform. I think it's, look, we think we have this and we can take it into a whole new realm that has nothing to do with where smartphones are today. To Jeff's point, it, you know, becomes a tricorder or, you know, something along those lines. I don't think we want to discount the iPhone in this future that Tim Cook has painted. It may very well be the lead player.
I think you're thinking small.
So, okay. So what's bigger than that?
I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, that's usually the nature of a disruptive product. You know, I mean, Tim is essentially saying that they're going to disrupt the healthcare industry. And I think that thinking that's just limited to what we think of as iPhone today or iPhone plus Apple Watch.
No, but I'm not saying iPhone today or iPhone plus Apple Watch today. I'm saying new functionality in iPhone of the future.
Yeah, that's what we think of that today. Anyway, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I would imagine this is probably not next year stuff.
I'm certain you're right. I would be stunned if next year Apple rolled out whatever this massive, huge thing is that's going to disrupt the healthcare market.
So we have a couple of other quotes from that piece. Do you want them?
Sure.
Eddie Q, this is essentially a separate topic. Eddie Q said, quote, "We want to be there from when you wake up to when you decide to go to sleep." And then Tim Cook added, "Our strategy is to help you in every part of your life that we can, whether you're sitting in the living room, on your desktop, on your phone, or in your car."
Now, so, see,
you know, just, that, you know, wants to be everything.
Yeah, that's a brilliant game plan. Don't be the focused tool that you need for 10 minutes a day. Be the indispensable life accessory that needs to go with you everywhere. From the moment you open your eyes in the morning to the moment when you close them to go to sleep at night.
Or the indispensable life accessories.
Or life accessories. You know, okay, so that reminds me of something that I speculated on before Apple Watch came out. And that was the idea that Apple might be working on a series of sensors that would like fit into your clothes to track different things. That, you know, it could be your blood oxygen level, it could be physical activity, you know, whatever. And maybe something like that still is in the works. And when I say still is in the works, I'm being wonderfully arrogant and assuming that Apple was actually doing exactly what I said and simply chose not to release it.
Yeah.
I think what we're talking about here is Apple, the services company, right? Because all of these, you know, life accessories, and you could include a car in there, right? I mean, a car is a life accessory. All of them are fine on their own, but where they really shine is when they're all tied together. And we're seeing that Apple as a services company is quite a lucrative business for them. So what, you know, maybe now they focus more on that. There are parts of the cloud Apple has done well. The whole file syncing thing ain't one of them. But, you know, calendars and storing your health data and, you know, or actually they don't store your health data in the cloud, but migrating things between all of your Apple connected devices in Apple's way tends to work. It's when third parties get involved that, you know, we all start to really hate iCloud. So I feel like Apple as the services company is the big player in the future. And here's all these things to support that, right? It was the digital hub, you know, it was your computer early on. And now it's Apple is your digital hub. And you pay Apple for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this, I mean, that was Steve Jobs' vision early, was like, you need this iMac in your house to be the hub of all of this stuff. Now you don't want that thing in your house, right? Because you're not always at your house. You want to connect to it no matter where you are. So that is Apple, in Apple's mind.
All right.
I like it.
I like it too, and I think that we need some more brain power to help us sort out exactly what Apple may have in store. So it's time to crowdsource, and who better to ask than our own listeners? So, what do you think Apple has planned, dear listeners? Shoot me a message on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can send me an email, observations@macobserver.com, and of course, you can leave comments in the show notes. Because I'm really curious, what do you think the path is that Apple is headed down? All right. So there's another thing I wanted to take a look at real quick before we wrap up. And this, I'm going to call it the validation for Brian segment. Because
yay!
Brian, that's right. Because Brian, you have been talking about how Apple is working on an Apple Car ever since the news broke, and you were gathering information.
I was talking about it before the news broke,
and that's part of the breaking of the news. Let's just be clear on that.
Yes. You had sources that you were working with before the news came out that Apple's working on a car, so you knew what was happening before anyone else did. And we've had people ever since that moment that have said, nope, not happening. And you have known that they are wrong. And now we have a little bit of a little bit more tangible evidence to back up what you are saying. And this is in the form of a patent. Apple now has a vehicle related patent. And this patent describes an articulated vehicle. And if you're not familiar with what that is, if you've ever been in a city where you see one of the long buses that has the accordion thing in the middle and it can like turn and the whole body twists, that's an articulated vehicle. And so Apple has a patent that describes a steering system and that articulation joint. And that's not the sort of thing that you get a patent for if you are just going to make iPhones and Macs.
Yeah, it's true. The interesting thing about this, though, I mean, because so one of Apple's strategies is to patent something in such a way that you that it will apply to what Apple's doing, but you can't necessarily deduce what Apple is doing.
Right.
And so I would imagine that's why this is for an articulated vehicle. The question is, how would that possibly apply to a non-articulated vehicle? Because it kind of doesn't feel like Apple's going to release it. You know, the Apple Car is going to be a tank. It could be.
Yeah. Okay. And that, to me, is just the funny part out of this. This whole patent, it links Apple and BAE Systems together. And BAE, they're known for their military vehicle designs. And I can't picture Apple designing an articulated troop transport with gun turrets on top. It just doesn't seem like the Apple way. But, you know, if Apple is looking at ways to create automated transit systems, an articulated joint and steering system could play into that. You know, buses, trams, trains.
Don't believe that Apple is working on buses, trams, and trains at this point. Could, you know, Tim does basically say he wants to be our everything. So, you know, that could be in the works. I would guess that this patent application would somehow apply to a car and that it's been filed in such a way that you can't exactly see what Apple's going to be doing with it.
Yeah, and obfuscating the intent of an invention is a pretty common thing, and not just for Apple. Dave, you've been really quiet. What do you think? Apple tanks?
Apple tanks? Well, I mean, look, you know, government contracts are big business.
It's true.
Not just with, you know, our own country for the three of us here in the United States, but everywhere. So, you know, automated tanks that are self-driving and all of that. I mean, we're already doing that. I guarantee it. So why would Apple not be in that business? I mean, there's a lot of reasons. Actually, I could come up with a zillion answers to that question. It's not what they do. They've really kind of, you know, stayed away from, they've focused more on the consumer than they have on enterprise or government, but they're still there. I don't know. It could happen.
You got to start somewhere. My guess is you don't start with the tanks. You start with the cars.
Well, but, you know, so up until we had companies like Apple. And so, I mean, I'm really talking about just the last, you know, last few decades. And even then, most of the innovation happened in the military space, right? And or certainly the government space and a lot of it in the military space, because that's where money could be spent to research things and just go crazy. Now that we have private companies, and the whole point, you know, always was let's seed the market and then, you know, let people run with it. And now we've got companies that can totally afford to do all kinds of crazy, you know, research 100% on their own. Right. And we're seeing that with the space program, for better and for worse. So, you know, does it make sense that that would then come full circle? And now we've got private companies developing things without military involvement, at least not in the development. And then like, hey, we're going to sell this to you. It could happen.
Yeah, probably not. But it is possible that
it was awfully dismissive.
It was, wasn't it? It was shockingly so.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Dave. But it is also possible, to Dave's point, so to be undismissive, that this patent application was filed as a byproduct of the research that Apple was doing in a car. And it's like someone said, you know, hey, I've got this idea for a tank thing, the articulated vehicle thing. Sure. So why don't we just go ahead and patent that? Because I've got the idea. You know, I'm thinking about it right now. Let's just do it. And it really doesn't have anything to do with Apple's broader product range.
No, and Apple is a company, like any big company, Apple will patent. They err on the side of over-patenting. Because they've already, it's not like you're some small company where it's like, oh, okay, we've got to, you know, hire attorneys and do a patent search and all that stuff. That engine runs 24/7 over there at Apple, or certainly, you know, 8 to 6 Monday through Friday at least. And so, okay, yeah, just throw this idea at them and then it magically just happens, right? You don't really have to over dedicate engineering resources or, you know, anything. It just sort of magically happens when you're the engineer that comes up with the idea. So yeah, it you're probably right on that, Brian.
Yeah. But still, I just love the idea that that people now are thinking about what sort of military vehicles Apple might be designing.
I mean, the thing is what we understand about Apple's car project is that Bob Mansfield has been brought in, and right now he has been tasked with essentially deciding whether or not the car is viable, or whether or not Apple should actually just be thinking about having a system that it could license other companies, right? So yeah, it's a huge stretch to go from there to Apple is also working on military vehicles.
Right.
But it doesn't stop me from saying that just because it's going to get some people riled up. But Brian, the really important thing was that we had our Brian validation segment. And yay! Yeah, and I think we've managed that. And so we should wrap up now. Brian
was a jackass.
Well, it's, you know, when you start a validation segment, I can see where it's easy to slide down that path.
It's sort of you walk in parallel is really what it is, Jeff.
Yeah, that's kind of how it works. Yes. Brian, thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having us, man.
And Dave, thank you for being here, too.
Yeah, good stuff.
Listeners, thank you for joining us. And I'm really curious to see what you think Apple may be planning in the health world. And we'll be back tomorrow. So see you then.